Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. We have one of the most unique guests on the podcast today. We have Joshua Hornstein. Joshua, you are not only the chief legal officer at Innovas, you are also the chief human resources officer. And if that wasn't enough, you have ESG and facilities reporting to you as well. So I appreciate you taking time out of that day. But what I want to do is I want to talk about, from a CHRO's perspective, how to work with legal and your insights as being legal and CHRO, that how do you work together to create growth? What's the strategy? How do we collaborate together truly between HR and legal? That's what we're going to start talking about today. But before we do that, what I'd love to do is if you could expand a little bit on your background, because not only do you wear a lot of hats, but back in the early days of your career, you even worked as an intern in the White House. So there's a lot that's going on. If you wouldn't mind just explaining a little bit more about who you are and your background, and then we'll jump into the things here.
Thanks, Dan. And first of all, let me just say thank you for having me on this podcast. It's a real treat. I don't usually get to talk about myself and the stuff that I'm working on, so I really can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity. As you mentioned, I've had a pretty interesting career. I've had a lot of different experiences, even starting with, as you mentioned, when I was in college, I got to be an intern in the White House and actually work in the West Wing at the executive office building during my junior year. It was quite an amazing experience. In terms of my professional career, I started off like any other lawyer. It doesn't mean it's common. It's just a typical career path. I went to law school and I started with a couple of law firms and worked in several different practice areas. And then I had the opportunity about 7 or 8 years into my career to go work for a company in-house and then work for the company. I'm currently at a company called Innovas, which we can talk a little bit more about later. But during those career, and even as you mentioned, at Innovas, I've gotten to work on a broad range of topics and a broad range of skills, and I am so much better for it. I started off as a typical labor and employment attorney. I switched to do corporate securities, and then I went in-house and worked for two really great companies and then got to work with HR and facilities. I've learned a whole bunch of stuff that I never thought I would learn when I started law school. I never thought I'd even get the opportunity to do this, and it's been really fascinating.
And right before we started recording, I asked, is there anybody else like you? Is there anybody that's executive level, chief, C-suite level, legal and HR? And you said that maybe you found a few online, but not a lot.
Yeah, I found a few online. I think one of the things I found is that typically the general counsel's office will sometimes get involved with HR, even temporarily supervise it, but it always, HR becomes a separate function. I have really enjoyed my experience when I actually was able to make it a permanent part of my repertoire as an executive, and it has made me the better for it. I think my company is the better for it. I think the people who work for me are better for it. I haven't seen a fair amount of executives, very few at all, who have done it as long as I'm doing this now for 7 years. It's been just a really fascinating and wonderful.
I think we're all hoping to benefit from your experience as well. And with that, I want to dive right in. The big question here is, how can a CHRO or a chief people officer work with legal as partners in strategic growth for the company? How would you have a start to think about that?
I've heard that question so many different times. It's when I speak with other CHROs, that's the simple question very often. Because for some reason, and I think maybe it's just a function of the type of work that goes on, the two functions often seem to not understand each other very well. The biggest challenge sometimes is what is legal's responsibility and what is HR's responsibility. If you take things like training, employee training, if it's on a legal topic or if it's training on a HR topic, but it has legal context to it, it's very hard sometimes for the both legal departments to interact and understand how they can help each other. The benefit of my role is I've been able to break through that kind of bottleneck. My teams work together when they do an employee training on things like harassment or the FMLA or any other legal issue. The HR team knows the legal team is going to help them figure out what types of things they need to get trained on. The legal team doesn't have to worry about them actually doing the training because the HR team's much more adept at setting up the training, finding trainings that are appealing to the employees.
Yeah, just the understanding of each side. Typically, you don't understand the expertise of somebody else in there. You may work alongside them, but to truly understand, because then you know the things that you can help on that we would never know to even ask.
That's true on both sides. The lawyers don't know all the questions either. HR doesn't know all the questions. When you put your two heads together, you actually find out which questions that the other one knows. And then when you put them together, which ones you actually should ask. So it's a combo. You refine it down to a good mix of how do we get the most efficient way to address the issue or to get the objective done.
If you could give us an example, just kind of one of those areas where typically we wouldn't even know how we could help each other and partner together, like what would be a good example of that?
A classic example is an employee relations issue where an HR employee gets a complaint or a question or a situation arises where an employee needs to go out on leave or they have a disability or they have some other aspect of their job where there is a legal part to it and then there's just the HR parts. We do the HR with a little bit of common sense and a little bit of legal logic. You have the employee who says to you, I really need to work from home because I can't come to the office for a medical reason or I can't come to the office for a family reason. And the HR employee gets stymied very often of, how do I deal with this? I don't want to break the law and I don't want to say I'm going to get in trouble if I say the wrong thing. When you have both teams working for the same person like I do, that HR employee knows that they can rely on their legal department immediately to go ask, give me some guardrails, give me some talking points, give me the things I should do, the do's and the don'ts. And that HR person feels so much more empowered to be able to talk to the employee. On the flip side, the lawyer on the case or the lawyer in the company knows the law and knows where you're going to be discriminating. You have to make sure you provide all the options to the employee. The lawyer then also works with the HR person and gets the human context, which then makes the lawyer's legal voice even better than next time because they understand that when the HR person says, look, I've got this four times, it's in the engineering department, these things happen all the time. So how do I address it? The lawyer can then adjust the legal advice so it's more tailored towards the specific situation. They don't have to come into a cold because they've been working with the HR person for a while on these types of issues and they've come up with a reasonable, a common sense game.
It makes both sides more effective, more successful. And then exactly. The employee, they get better counsel, they get handled better, they feel better, there's better retention. It's like a win-win on all sides.
It's a great point, Steve. If you think about it from the employee's perspective, the employee knows when the HR person is nervous. They're unsure of themselves. They can tell if the HR person is just trying to cover for an answer. But if the HR person feels confident, if the HR person employee feels they know all the aspects of it, and then on top of it, if the HR person feels empowered to then make the right human decision, that's a win for everybody because the employee can tell right away they may not agree with the actual result. But at least they feel like you're trying to address it from a not just corporate or a legal or regulatory. You're trying to address it as a holistic problem and it's specific to that. It's not just we do this for everybody and I can't change it. So that's just what it is. The lawyer allows the HR person to say, I want to make an exception here. Am I going to get big trouble for it? Maybe not. There are times when exceptions work and there are times when exceptions don't work. Yeah. And I feel confident now that this exception works. And I can tell the employee that, or I can tell the employee, this exception, I really can't do it. Here's why. And these are the issues and we have to be fair to all the other employees. And so I can't make an exception. The employee on the other side of that discussion knows the person they're dealing with is confident and really is trying to address their problem.
We have a podcast episode coming up and it's on the term psychological safety. And you can think about it in this way. You're empowering that HR professional, that they know you have their back. You've talked it through. You talk about that confidence that comes through. That the idea of psychological safety is it builds high performance teams because people feel more empowered, more open, more honest, more authentic in all their interactions. And so what you're doing there is building a high performance HR team by having such a strong collaboration with legal. Not to be underscored, the importance.
The other great thing, Steve, and I know we're just hopping from topic to topic here, it's not just in the employee relations. And that's the first one that comes to mind because these are typically legal issues. There are stuff that involve the law or regulation or compliance. It can be even effective in areas like operations, compensation. is a great example. With you and I, I've talked a little bit about there's nothing more powerful than a general counsel who knows everybody's compensation. Because if the general counsel has all of the background that knows all the compensation, they can give such great advice to the compensation team about how to structure the compensation pay grades and the bands, and then when to make exceptions on compensation and when not to make exceptions on compensation. How to drive what the compensation wants to do already is incentivize work towards the business's objectives. And the lawyer that knows both what the compensation is, as well as what the legal requirements are, can give great direction to the compensation team and even to like your compensation committee for your board of directors. It really gives you such a 360-degree view of the corporation that you give such better advice. A lot of times what I've seen is the general counsel only gets involved when there's a specific compensation issue. They don't know the compensation, and some companies don't, for lack of a better term, don't trust the general counsel to know everybody's specific compensation. And so the comp team feels that they have to keep it secret from the general counsel at some point, because unless there's a legal issue, they don't need to know everybody's raises or their bonus percentages are. With the general counsel involved, or more importantly, having oversight of that, it takes away all of those issues. As long as you have a general counsel who can manage that and can be mature about what the compensation decisions are, and most, I think, can, it's such a great tool to have for an operations team is another example.
Most of the people that are listening or watching this right now are thinking, okay, I don't have those two functions that are tied at the hip, that there's one person overseeing it. What's your recommendation for a CHRO that's saying, wow, I want the benefits that you're talking about here in terms of how to better collaborate, how to build the relationship, even if there's not one person overseeing everything, but we all know that we can work as teams. So how does a CHRO work better with you as a legal counsel?
One of the best things that I've learned, it's such an underrated skill that people don't realize, is that a CHRO knows better than anybody that not every structure works in every organization. So there are instances where it is better to have a CHRO separate and report directly to the CEO. And there's lots of aspects of why that is involved. And as I became CHRO, it's one of those, there's no perfect formula here. There's no perfect sauce. These are the benefits of the structure that I'm in. But there are benefits to having a CHRO and a general counsel separate. That being said, you can, if you have those two separate, there are lots of easy ways to mimic what I'm experiencing as charge of both. All those things I just mentioned, how the general counsel interacts with the compensation team. A CHRO can develop a rapport with the general counsel about key compensation decisions, about executive comp, especially as a big ticket item, about the importance of work, where compensation is, what's the objectives of the company. And you can set up that interaction where you can still get almost all the same benefits of it. You just got to set it up correctly with your general counsel. So one way to do it is a CHRO should set out and should examine and try and be proactive about what are the compensation decisions that I think I'm going to encounter as we're going forward. For instance, if your company doesn't have a clear compensation structure, then you don't have clear pay grades and band, midpoints and targets, and you have to set that up. My first question to the general counsel is, but here's where I'm thinking, here's the consultants I'm thinking, or the surveys that I'm going to be using. What are the legal traps that I could fall into as I set up these? Here's all the different aspects of my company and all the different types of employees and departments, and then bring the general counsel in before you even set up the whole structure. Ask the general for questions that you need to get that or things that you should watch out for. As you build your structure, keep the general counsel updated on how you're building your structure, what you're doing. It's the classic, am I missing anything as I'm going through it? You don't have to tell the general counsel the actual compensation level. You can describe what you're doing and the different grades and maybe the proportions, the different changes between each grade, without having to give all of the compensation information to the general counsel. But when you include them in that whole process, they feel empowered to be part of it and to work with you on it. And it will help you before you not hit any landmines or traps as you go along.
You're being proactive and you're bringing it a different point of view that you don't have as a CHRO. Right. And that collaboration is just going to be more powerful. I know that not always combining two together as one doesn't always produce great results. if I took my two kids and I put them together, they'd just fight. So like, how do you make legal work for you? From the CHRO's perspective, how do you collaborate? How do you establish that working relationship?
It takes time. So you shouldn't expect to come in and right away, you're a perfect collaborator. It starts with transparency. It starts with rapport. It starts with getting to know each other. It's like any other employee interaction. It's the things that the CHRO is very skilled at in training managers and training other types of leaders in the company of how they report their business partners team and the work development teams. Learning and development all are skilled at helping employees develop these types of interactions and how to get people to do that. So the first thing I'd say with the general counsel is I like to use the you have my back, I have yours. And not like we're trying to avoid or hide something or anything like that, but it's a sense of humility of I don't have all the answers and neither do you. So if I ask all these questions and then I'm receptive to your question, even if it's in my expertise area, that's a great way to build rapport with the general counsel as well as the CHRO. It's one of the things, the skills I always like to impart in my legal team. The legal team is always trained to think they have all the answers on the legal issues. And if someone from the business team asks us a question like, really, is that really the right legal answer, to be receptive to that type of question, because sometimes the business team has a very good way of looking at it and it actually will solve the legal problem without causing any issues. So you have to be receptive on both ends. As a CHRO, the first thing I would do if I was interacting with the general counsel is ask them what are their big ticket items that they're trying to accomplish? How can that overlay with my big ticket items? Here are the things that I'm looking to do. I really could use your assistance. Is there anything I'm missing? What do you think about the HR team? Is there anything you would suggest for the HR team to do? Being humble about that doesn't mean you have to take the general counsel's advice, but just the fact that you're willing to consider it is a great way of building that trust and relationship. Over time, as you get there, you'll get to a cadence with the general counsel of knowing when you come to them, the general counsel knows it's important. And when you don't come to them, they're not worried that you're not bringing the right issues to them. They've trained you on what the issues they need to work on.
So here's an interesting question. We all, in some way, shape, or form, can look at our counterparts and other departments and everything and can be thinking, I just wish they understood this. I just wish they like appreciated this about what we do. What is it that if you could tell a CHRO, I wish you knew this about legal. I wish you knew this about the counsel that we could give you, the way that we could help you, that you don't think that they typically just innately understand, but would really appreciate?
I think the biggest thing is most lawyers, especially ones that work inside a company as an in-house attorney, they really want to learn about the business. They really want to understand what the business is about. They don't want to just be seen as a lawyer. They want to be seen as a business partner for the whole company. And HR has a great opportunity to help them. HR sees the whole company, there's all the employees, what's going on with each department, because they hear it from the employees and the managers of what they're struggling with, if there's targets they're not meeting. The comp team definitely knows, because they see whether bonus targets are being met and whether people are getting big raises or not getting big raises. The legal team wants to just know about what's going on with the business, and the HR team has a great viewpoint on that. Again, you don't have to tell the legal team all everybody's compensation to do that, but to share those, what's going on with the company? What do you think? What do they think is an interesting approach to it? Lawyers typically get the, I want to draft this contract. I want to make sure I don't have any issues. And I want you to tell me everything's going to be fine. And that's where a lawyer gets. They don't typically get how you lawyer as the team, how can you help me figure out the business strategy? And the HR team has a great aspect to give them some of the background so that when they're in a meeting on like an environmental issue, or maybe it's an IP issue, they will have the background because they'll know that the R&D team has been struggling with 14 other things. And now knowing that, how do they approach giving them the tough news that this contract's got to be changed or this innovation may not be patentable? How do they think about that and then go into the meeting and say, this may not be patentable, but here's all the other ways we can help you meet your target because I thought about a different way of patenting this innovation. So that type of stuff is really valuable to a lawyer, and they crave, they don't want to be seen as just lawyers. They want to be seen as part of a business. That's why they came to work in the company. Lawyers that don't want to do that are typically working in a law firm and they hop from client to client. Whereas the ones who work in the business, they really want to be part of the business. So HR can really help them. And if you help them do that, they'll be grateful to you forever. They will always think of you as a partner and not as someone who I have to make sure doesn't break the law or do something wrong.
I'm sure you know better than I do that we typically think of internal legal counsel as when there's something wrong, we better go talk to them. When we're trying to head off a problem, we really need their advice. Not as much, we just don't naturally think as much about this is a huge resource for us to be proactive and planning and thinking about how we're growing strong teams and compensation plans and things like that.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is both are huge resources. HR is a huge resource for the company. No company can survive if you don't have a good HR team that's helping drive the workforce. The employees are the most important part of any company. And if you're not watching out for what they need, providing them the services, the benefits, for everything for payroll, the company's not going to function. You can have the best strategy in the world. If you don't get the people to implement it, it don't matter. The same thing around legal. If you can do all these great innovative things, if you don't have the patent attorney that's helping you patent it, then you're stuck. You don't have anything to go there. If you have an environmental, you want to make sure you're complying with all the environmental laws so that you can build that new plant and you can have the business grow. If the lawyer's not involved in the business strategy, they won't be able to advise you on the right way to get from A to B to C on the environmental. So that's why I keep focusing on HR can help legal be more involved in the business. And I think lawyers also need to understand that as well. It's not just the HR. They see everything that's going on in the company because they see what's happening with the employees. They may not know the specific financial deck of the actual results on certain things, but they know when the certain business units are not doing well because they can see it. So that kind of thing, or on the reverse, they know when a function is doing really well and they can see it on that end as well. That type of background information, that type of human information is so helpful to a lawyer when they're trying to give legal advice.
So Joshua, we've covered a lot of really good territory here. If you were going to have people take away one most important thing from what we've talked about, or what we haven't talked about yet, but if there was one thing that you wanted people to remember most above all, what would that be?
The most important thing you can learn from my background is always challenge yourself. I had to take on an entirely different department, which I didn't have any expertise in, and learn it and get up to speed. And it's been one of the best things that happened in my career. I had a similar experience when I switched from a different type of law, from doing a litigation labor employment to being a corporate securities attorney. Always challenge yourself. Always look for those new opportunities. Don't be set in kind of that day-to-day and what you're working on, and that's always going to be your expertise. It has served me so well in my career, been forcing myself to be challenged. We talked about earlier, I manage the facilities team. I have learned so much about facility systems, about HVACs, about the plumbing systems, and the real estate and commercial real estate. I know it's going to serve me well as I progress in my career. Not because I'm going to be in charge of HVACs for the rest of my career, but knowing what they go through, knowing what it takes to upgrade a building or to put new improvements into a building is going to serve me well in multiple aspects. Some I won't even know. It'll come to me in 2 or 3 years when I have a specific business objective to accomplish. So always challenge yourself. I think that's the big takeaway. The other is that HR and legal are so good to be naturally complementary, and they are naturally, when they work well together, it is so helpful to the company. It helps the company run so much smoother so you can focus on the actual business issues and not on the actual just running of the company. And when I said running of the company, things like payroll, things like compensation, things like benefits, things like what's the structure of your employees, when you get them working together, you can just say those are all set. Then the company can look at and focus on where's our next big business opportunity. Where's our next acquisition that we want to go to? If those aren't working well, you're wasting a lot of time trying to fix those while you're also trying to grow the business, and that's never fun.
No. Here's what I think for sure is going to happen here. People are going to have questions. Would it be appropriate if we gave maybe a link to your LinkedIn profile out that people could reach out and ask questions?
I would love it. I've been reaching out to people just recently on a lot of different posts, and I've gotten some really great feedback, and I love talking about this stuff. I love hearing these kind of common sense approaches to things and the things that kind of are staring you right in the face. And somebody says, oh, why didn't you think about this way? Which again, I think is another great aspect of HR and legal working together. Sometimes the answer is so clear. It's so in front of you. But because you're just focused on being a lawyer, or you're just focused on being HR, you didn't see it. And the other person helps you see that kind of right in front of your face. I would love to hear stories about this, even interactions that didn't work, and the lessons learned from that interaction. What went wrong, and how did it develop the distrust, and how do you break that? How do you repair that? I would love to hear.
Great. We will be sure to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. And I just wanted to say thank you. Your background, your expertise in this is so unique. And so therefore, it's something that's got to be one of the most important things, I think, that both legal counsel and HR need to be tuning in and understanding. So thank you for bringing all this forward to us.
Thank you for the opportunity. And like I said, I'm touched, really excited about talking about this. I really think it's a great, interesting way to structure an executive team. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.